There are times in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ where great crowds came to hear him. And then there were other times where literally every single person abandoned him. There's something of that that's actually true also, and that's revealed in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. There were times where there was great growth in the church. Then there were times at the end of his ministry where he writes about having been abandoned by many of his close friends and his helpers. The ministry of the word does go up and down. We looked at that from Timothy a few weeks ago, preached the word in season and out of season, that there are seasons to the ministry of the word, and there are seasons to the preaching of the gospel. And this was even true of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he used many parables that had to do with growth and with fruit bearing to teach people about this. But what's interesting in this chapter that we just read, and how we read about this parable of the sower, is that there were actually seasons where the Lord simply stopped teaching the crowds. That may seem unimaginable, but I want you to imagine you came and you heard about this great preacher and about these miracles, and you came to this place by the seaside, and there were so many people gathered in together that the Lord Jesus was preaching from a boat. Preaching from a boat, probably in a little bay along the water, and all the people are gathered along the hillsides, and they're right along the water there, and they're listening to him teach. And the Lord Jesus begins to preach, and he tells a story, and then he stops. And he doesn't even explain it to those crowds. Now, why would that be? Why would it be that he would just stop and not explain it to them? Well, if you read the chapter before this actually explains what was happening. In chapter 12, the Lord Jesus had healed somebody on the Sabbath day. The Pharisees were finding different reasons to reject him. By and large, the people were coming for a big show. They were coming for a showdown. It was Pharisees against the Lord Jesus Christ. There was all kinds of criticism happening, and there was a big show going on, and the Lord Jesus was teaching them things like a house divided cannot stand. And he was teaching them about great gravity, the sadness of the unpardonable sin, rejecting the work of the Holy Spirit. Then he taught them that a tree is known by its fruit. Then the Pharisees and the scribes wanted a bigger sign. They wanted to see more. They wanted a sign. And then the Lord Jesus warned about that unclean spirit, that a person can clean out their life for a little time and then seven spirits worse can come back. Then his mother and his brothers send for him, and then he rejects them, and then he tells this parable of the sower, and he does not explain it. So can you imagine sitting there? Can you imagine if I came to church this Sunday morning and just read the parable of the sower? I'll be honest with you, I struggled this week whether I would have the strength to read past verse 9. I struggled with, would it be futile to even read the explanations? Should I bother? Will the Lord give strength? Will anyone have ears to hear? Sometimes preachers get that way, and what it leads us to is a great need for the work of the Holy Spirit, for ourselves as preachers, but then also that our hearers would have ears to hear. As the Lord Jesus ended this parable in front of that great big crowd, he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Do you have ears to hear? That's the main thing we're going to be looking at this morning. Do you truly have ears to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? And we're simply looking at the parable of the sower, and we'll look at those different soils. What was the message? What was the message of the Sermon on the Mount? The message of the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus first came teaching way back in chapter 5, 6, 7, 8, and he taught them very clearly, taught them the way of the kingdom, the way of God's law, that they needed the Savior. The Lord Jesus came with the gospel again and again. He came with the message, and it basically was this: repent and believe. Turn from sin. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into the kingdom of God. Come and believe in me, and you will be healed and you will be helped. But sadly, what was happening is that many were not coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were not listening to his message of the gospel. And now comes this parable of the soils. Now the good news is that for the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, they had a privilege. They had a privilege of the Lord coming to them, or actually them coming to the Lord, and them asking for an explanation. And there's some hope in that already, and there's some hope in being gathered into the church of Jesus Christ and being members of his church and coming under the preaching of the gospel, that there is some explanation of the word. And so the Lord Jesus, the disciples come to him and they say, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Verse 10. And he answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, more will be given, and he will have abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." There were these disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, that means students, learners, hearers, and they were coming with their questions and with their needs to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were seeking him again and again. And that needs to be the first question, actually, before you even come to the parable of the sower, is, are you coming to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you coming to his body? And are you coming to his church with your questions, with your needs? Do you come here today for help? The disciples were those who were on a path to learning that they simply needed the help of the Holy Spirit. They wouldn't really come to the full realization of that until after Jesus died on the cross and the day of Pentecost and the blessing of the Spirit being poured out on them. But there's a disciple's privilege here in having the parable be explained to them. And that's a privilege we have as the Christian church. And so the first thing we should say is, come be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Learn from him. Read his word often. Dig into it. Think about it. Pray that you would learn to understand it. Take this privilege of a disciple. Don't be like that crowd that just walks away. There are periods in church history where many walk away. They walk away from the Church of Jesus Christ, frustrated, angry, disappointed. They have some good points. They have some real reasons. The body of Christ is not yet perfect on this earth, but do not be one of those. Be one of those disciples who comes to his body, who comes to his church asking for help. Then the Lord Jesus now exposes. He exposes what he was teaching. And we're going to mainly focus on that. The word of the parable explained in verses 18 and following. So the Lord Jesus told this story. A sower had gone out scattering seed on a field. That field would have been different than we're used to. We're used to, of course, acres and acres of straight lines and well-cultivated rows. And we're used to tractors with big plows that turn over the earth. And we're used to a more consistent kind of farming. They were used to hills and rocks. And they were used to small and misshapen fields. And they were even used to fields that would have paths going right down the middle of them. They had different ideas of private property in those times. So imagine the sower goes out to this field and there's areas where some rocks have been thrown. There's a path where lots of people walk beaten down the middle of his field. And that was acceptable in those times to walk down that path through somebody else's field. And then there's some thorns that have grown up in a certain area. It's a bit of a messy field. The Church of Jesus Christ is the same today. It's a bit of a messy field. There is no church on this earth anywhere that ultimately looks like a 21st century farm with exact straight rows and with perfect amounts of irrigation and fertilizer and that kind of perfection. No, here we have this messy field with these different soils, these four different soils. And actually, many call this the parable of the soils. to try and focus on. If you look online and you listen to different sermons, there'll be those who call it, instead of the parable of the sower, the parable of the soils. What they're trying to do and what they're trying to teach by that is focus on which soil are you? Which soil are you? The first soil, those by the wayside. There's a beaten path through this field, and passers-by go through it. And that wouldn't have been trespassing in those days. That would have been understood. There's just a field right through, or a path right through somebody's field. And as the sower goes, they would have a bag of seed on their side, on their hip usually, and they would take with a throwing motion and they would scatter the seed. And it was inevitable in this messy field that some of that seed, it lands on the path. But everybody's feet and the horse's feet and the wagon's wheels beat down that path. There's no chance of any of the seed penetrating. And the birds of the air come and devour them. Same thing would happen today. If you threw a bunch of seed out onto the road, or you throw out some seed onto your deck or your driveway, what happens? The birds will come and they will eat it up. There's no depth to them. And so there were those among the scribes and the Pharisees especially who turned their back on the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were hard-hearted. They couldn't receive it. And for some reason or another, Satan has his way with them. Ultimately, they're prideful. If we take the picture of the chapter before this, they're finding all these different reasons to reject Jesus Christ himself and to not listen to him. They don't think. They're distracted. And so there are these people who come under the preaching of God's word, and who you might try to evangelize or speak to, and literally they reject the word instantly. There's no penetration into their hearts. They can't take up a sermon. They can't listen to it. There's just nothing to it. So there were in those times people who mocked the Lord Jesus Christ, who made fun of him, who criticized his preaching and his teaching, who stirred up the crowds against him. There was no softening to their hearts. There was no depth, no interest. And so these are the completely hard-hearted. They don't listen to sermons at all. Now the good news is that the Lord is so merciful and gracious. We have a few people in the congregation here who will testify that there were times in their life that they were like the wayside, that they literally tuned out to sermons from beginning to end, and they sat in church distracted or even on their phone or not even beginning to listen to anything at all. Don't stay in that place. It's dangerous. The Lord Jesus reminded of the sin of the Holy against the Holy Spirit in the chapter before, of rejecting his word. And yet, don't think that just because somebody's in that hard-hearted place that there's no hope for them. In Acts 2, Apostle Peter preaches to some of these scribes and Pharisees, and some of them, it actually says, were cut to the heart. So those hard hearts and that hard ground of literally the people who called for the execution of Jesus Christ, those hearts were broken by the work of the Holy Spirit. So the message here is, if you find yourself in this place today, is not give up hope, walk out of church and don't ever come back. It's cry out for the work of the Holy Spirit. Pray that God also would cut through the hardness of your heart. Pray for your family members' hearts and for others. On that day of Pentecost, thousands of hard-hearted people were saved. And may we be praying the same for our time as well. So don't just give up if this is your state or if this is your family member's state. The Lord is merciful and gracious, and yet do not stay in this state. But then there's the next group, the stony ground. The stony ground. Some fell on stony places where they didn't have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root. They withered away. So this messy field has a second kind of soil. It happens here, at least it happens on our property too. There's sections, if you look in fields, where people have had to pick rocks They've had to pull them and throw them in different areas. And here the sower is going and he comes along a rocky section. You often see that as you go uphill a little bit. You go up the hill and it starts to get more and more rocky because the soil in the has not settled. It settles into the lowlands, which are the better soil. And so you have some of those hillier, rockier fence line places where there's some soil. Notice, they receive the word, even with some gladness. He hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. We've seen this in the congregation here over the last 12 years a few times. People that came into the congregation that seemed to receive the word with joy, that there seemed to be some interest in the word and some love of the word, and there even seemed to be some spiritual growth, but it was superficial emotion in the end. There are people who, superficially, temporarily, they appreciate the good news of the gospel. Who doesn't want their sins forgiven? Who doesn't want some help in this messy life, in this messy world? And so some people come, and they come to the church, and they listen to the preaching for a time, or they turn their life around for the time, but they have, it says, no root in themselves. It's skin deep. Then the sun comes along and scorches them. Now the sun here is a picture of the dry season. It's a picture of the time in Israel where they would have very hot, baking weather. And because that soil is not deep enough and it's not cultivated enough and there's no moisture, they just for a time, they seem to have grown, but then tribulation comes. Trouble comes. They go through another trial. Their old sin rises up again. And it's temporary. And they fall away. The sun is a picture of tribulation. They start to get grief for the word of God. Maybe temptations come, or different trials come, or even persecutions come, and they quickly stumble, wither, and dry out. It's sad how often, isn't it? You see people who come to Bible studies for a time, they're enthusiastic about the word of God, but then it's no more than skin deep. They don't continue. What a sad picture this is. All this seed being scattered and so much of it not growing. Then you come to the seed that falls among the thorns. Here the soil is actually good. There's enough depth of soil to grow because there's thorns growing as well. But in time, that good plant that's supposed to bear fruit, it's choked out. And here it's interesting because there's a different set of things that chokes out this seed. It seems to last a little longer. This time, though, it's not hard times that choke it out or giving up on Christianity because it's just not seeming to solve all of the problems. Actually, this time it seems to be the opposite problem for many. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, the struggle to survive, covetousness, wanting more and more. The Lord Jesus actually warned the Pharisees in Luke 16 that they were lovers of money and that they were just trying to use their religion to get richer and richer and to have more and more, and that their real root desire was just to have that good life and to have those riches and to have those things and to have that reputation, not for the glory of God, but for themselves. And so in time, the thorns of worldly ways, the deceitfulness of riches, choke out the word of God. If we were to look at the age that we've just lived through and still are living in, it seems that in the church and amongst covenant children, this third category, the seeds among thorns, seems to be such a danger. Seems to have been such a danger. Seems like we might be entering the second stage of tribulations and more challenges, but we just went through a time where people could act like a Christian and they could go to church but have no depth to their faith because really what they were about was living for this world. So when we look out over the messy field of the church, we can expect still to see these different categories. There are those in the first category, but the word doesn't enter their hearts at all. They're distracted by different things. Perhaps there are grudges in their hearts, negativity about the church. Perhaps there's struggles that Satan comes with a new temptation the moment they walk out of church. There are so many different ways that Satan can attack, and the word doesn't penetrate at all. And then there will be others. Seems to go a little longer, but then things get tough. And then others seems to go a little longer yet, but then they get distracted. Which one of these might you be or have been? To some degree, every Christian, even true believers, experience some of these things at times in their lives. You can probably line up this, some of this, with different seasons in your life. You came to church really, really stressed out, or something like that, or all kinds of burdens and cares and needs on your mind and on your heart, and you simply could not listen that day. Or you felt like you could listen, but then you walked out of church and the conversation that somebody had with you, it just seemed to take it all out of your mind. Or what happened at work the next day? It happens to believers as well. And yet, in the main, there's something deeper and more sobering to these parables. Because if you continue in those ways in your life, and you continue to allow Satan to pick up the word or only have little depth to your response to the word, you will die spiritually. Underneath this passage is a great need. It is the need that the children are going to memorize, Lord willing, for Sunday school next week. It's the simple need of you must be born again. There's such a need for the work of the Holy Spirit to come in and to transform and to turn around lives. And unless the Spirit is working, all that will happen in the church is these first three categories. Unless the Spirit is working, unless there is transformation, the good news is we can pray for the Spirit, and we must pray for the Spirit. But there are times, including in the time of the chapter before this, that the Lord was withdrawing from his people and he was allowing this to happen amongst the crowds. He was allowing them to be given over to their sin. And some of them even sinning the sin against the Holy Spirit, rejecting his word, turning their backs on him. Let us pray with soberness and even with tears that this does not happen to us. Here's the reality. It does happen in his church and in his kingdom. There are seasons of judgment, seasons of rejection of the word, and seasons of the decline of the church. And we've now lived through about 50, 60 years where these first three categories, by and large, are the main pattern of the church. If you look around at the scene of the church, this doesn't seem to be three quarters of what you see. It seems to be, if you look at the number of people who are going to church now compared to, say, 1960, this seems to be 99% of the church. The seed falling on dry, shallow, thorny ground. But then comes the good ground. The good ground. And may it be our prayer that we would be this good ground. Notice the contrast. This ground has depths. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Here on this good ground of the word of God, roots begin to go down. And even if there's a dry season, there's some moisture deep down in that soil, and there's ability to grow out of it. And there's some springing up for some time. And yes, there might be a dry season, or there might be a stressful season, or there might be a season of Satan coming and attacking, but the root is deep enough, and it's into a softened heart. And what's the first main mark of that? Well, for the disciples, The first main mark of that was that they came to the Lord Jesus Christ. That they were asking questions. That they were chewing on the word of God. And that when they were confused or when they were uncertain, they would come and they would gather to him. You know, even when it comes to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, I hope in some time to look at that parable of the one in the 99. Do you know who the one in the parable of the one in the 99 is? It's not the people sitting at home, licking their wounds. It's actually the crowd of prostitutes and sinners and others and disciples who's sitting around the Lord Jesus at that time having Bible study. That's the one. They're the ones who are asking him questions and drawing near to him. And they're the ones who are coming to the Lord Jesus for help. They're the ones who are poor and who are needy. And this is the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't get the parable. They don't understand it. And so they come to him and they say, "What does this mean? We don't get it. Why do you speak in parables?" You know, the church of Jesus Christ is a parable to the world. Many look at the church and they say, "Why do I need that? What good is that? What's that for? Why do we need Jesus?" It's a parable to them. It's unable to be understood. They can't see it. They don't understand it. They don't know what it's for. But then there are these disciples who have come, and one of the first signs of being good ground is simply they're coming to the Lord Jesus again and again. They're seeking him. They're leaving where they were. And that shows the work of the Spirit and a renewed will inside them that something's changed in their hearts, and now they're coming to the Lord Jesus again and again and again, and they need help, and they're coming to him in prayer. They're coming to his church. They're seeking his will. The seed goes deep. They want more and more of God's word. So the first sign is a hunger, a seeking, a desire. But then it produces fruit. He who received on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it and indeed bears fruit. So they hear, then they understand, then it was those coming to the Lord Jesus and humbly asking questions, and then they bear fruit. Now in those times, to have a good harvest was 15 times. So if you dropped one seed of wheat in the ground, and then you walked away with 15 seeds at the end of the season, that was a good harvest. That was a decent harvest. Now the multiple of harvests, I think some people get way better than that through different means and ways. But in those times, 15 would have been pretty good. And numbers like this, 100-fold, that would be miraculous. There's actually one example in the Bible. It's interesting, of a time where somebody gets a 100-fold crop. It's in Genesis. It's Jacob. Goes to sow seeds in a certain place, and he gets a crop of 100-fold. It was a picture in times where there were famines and there were challenges and there were difficulties that the Lord literally blessed him with 100-fold crop, but that was not normal. And here the Lord Jesus, he gives numbers that are well above and beyond a normal harvest. 100-fold. 100-fold. Some 60 and some 30. But what is this fruit? Well, the Lord Jesus in Matthew 3, verse 8, had called the crowds to bear fruits worthy of repentance. Fruits worthy of repentance. The first main fruit, the Christian life, is fruits worthy of repentance. That means it's rooted in repentance. They were those that were humbly turning around, coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, and trusting in him by faith. But then, the picture of fruit grows throughout the Scriptures. Galatians 5, 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So if the seed is taking root in your life, what begins to grow is actually otherworldly fruit. The passions, or The desires of the flesh, the lusts of the flesh, they're beginning to be crucified. They're beginning to be killed, ultimately by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on his cross. But the Christian becomes one who now crucifies the old nature and begins to put on this fruit. Not yet perfectly in this life, but if your life is a life of good ground, there will begin to be a growth of love, of sacrifice for others. There will begin to be a growth of joy to come into worship and to come into God's house. There will begin to be a growth of patience in your relationships. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all of these things, though not yet perfectly, the apostles still confess we all stumble in many ways. But you'll begin to see a difference in a person. And what is that difference founded on? Well, it's founded on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's founded on knowing him and coming back to him. Luke 8, verse 15 explains it a little more. The ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. They've heard the word with a noble and a good heart. So there needs to be that transformed heart, that different mind at the root of it. Then they turn and they keep and bear fruit with patience. But you know, we can look at the disciples themselves and we can see what happens when the fruit falls on good ground. It didn't with all of them. Think of Judas. Judas is an example in a way of all three of the first categories, especially the third. Judas goes after riches and he betrays his Lord and he turns away. But the other disciples, though when they heard this parable, they were so immature and weak and foolish, and they would still be beset by many different stumblings and problems, they still sought the Lord again and again and again. They abandoned him, yes, at his cross. But where do you find them later? Find them in the upper room, praying for the work of the Holy Spirit. You find them understanding and preaching and teaching their need for the forgiveness of sin and the work of the Holy Spirit. You find them confessing, as the Apostle Paul did, chief of sinners. And as Peter did, and James did, and John did, confessing again and again in their writings that they were sinners saved by grace, saved not by in themselves applying the word of God, but first having the heart that's able to apply the word of God. And that heart is found in the work of the Holy Spirit applying what Jesus has done. What does it look like when the word falls on good ground? It looks like, by God's grace, the life of the disciples. Mixed up and confused at times, given over to fear and even at times stumbling when it came to teaching the right things like the Apostle Peter did. But it looks like a church of Jesus Christ, not yet perfected, but already going out and bringing the love of Jesus Christ and the message of his gospel to people who largely would not listen. And yet bringing it to the death until it killed them. It's interesting to think about that these disciples who received this parable, one of them falls away completely, Judas. This still happens. Some of you have even had pastors or preachers who fell away in the past, like Judas. He still preached the gospel. He was able to do miracles, all kinds of things, but he fell away. But then the others, persevering in the fruit of the Spirit, despite their weaknesses, constantly having to crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. But we need to go back to the root. We need to seek the root, the seed. The seed is the good news. It's the good news that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. The seed of all of this is really the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ being buried underground, which later the Apostle Paul will use as a picture of a seed being buried and then growing and then being resurrected, and that how we also ultimately are being buried in a sense, either to resurrection or to eternal death in hell. And that's where this parable leads. And the way to this, and the way to growth, and the way to be having seeds planted in your heart and to new life is only by way of Jesus Christ. It's by way of his death, his burial, and his resurrection, which was, in one sense, a literal picture of this. Picture of him taking the place that we deserve. And the call of the gospel is, confess that you too often have been shallow ground, stony ground. You've fallen among thorns. Confess your need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek him early. Apply his word. And one of the first fruits of that is that you will go forward from imperfectly meditating on a passage like this one. And your desire will be, how can I keep this passage in my heart? As you go forward between services today, if you desire and would like to be the good ground, you need to be meditating on and thinking on and praying about, how can I keep this passage in my heart? How can I be concerned about this? How can I go into a week thinking more and meditating more on this passage? What kind of conversations can you have today with your brothers or sisters? And discussions that don't steal the word with different distractions, but aid in this word going deeper. How can you be as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ thinking and considering these things? One of the realities of preaching is that it will never get to the depth of a parable like this. So go forth. And he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen.